Hey, it's Wednesday, or at least it is for me now. It may not be when you're watching, but that doesn't matter. That's not why you tuned in. You tuned in for Ham Nation. Tonight, we've got Tim Duffy, K3LR, to tell you about the DX Engineering Virtual Ham Fest. We've got George with some cool stuff about the ICOM 705. We've got Gordon with short shots and stuff about antennas. We're going to see some really cool videos, and we're going to congratulate the 2020 Young Ham of the Year. And we're going to celebrate 3 years ago that my son became a ham. That was him with his CSCE. 3 years ago today, on Wednesday, July 15, he became N7TMW. So let's all pull a chair around the whatever it is you're watching and pour yourself a lovely beverage. And let's get into the Ham Nation, shall we? Ham Nation is brought to you from LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure that they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remote. Visit LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. This is Ham Nation, episode 462 for July 15th, 2020, the DX Engineering Virtual Ham Fest.
Good evening and welcome to another exciting episode of Ham Nation. I'm George, W5JDX. Bob Heil is not with us tonight. He is working overtime in Bob's workshop. We don't really know everything he's doing in there, but apparently he's been really busy in there, well, I don't know, maybe the last 2 or 3 months now. Things have really been hopping there, so no sleep for Bob. He's busy in there developing new things and getting things shipped out to folks. Well, we've got the usual folks here tonight, though. You know, we've all been social distancing here, and I guess the person who is a father is for me right now is Gordo over there on the left coast. Hi, Gordo.
Hey, hi there, George, and hi there, Ham Nation viewers and listeners and all of the folks out there in Radio Land. Yep, we're locked down in Southern California again, but we're tough. We're hams. We can still communicate. Back to you, George.
Well, that is true, Gordo, and we're sort of in that situation here. Some of the counties here are locked down. Well, sort of speak. I mean, there's a mandatory wear mask orders and several things like that. You know, we're not out of this yet. It's still got, I don't know how much longer to go. You know, a lot of people are in quarantine, and as I mentioned, social distancing. Some people maybe should be socially quarantined. Right, Don?
Why do I get the feeling you're talking about me? I'm not feeling the love, Georgie boy. I'm not feeling. Anyway, hello, everybody. It's good to be here. I got my brand new Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting hat on because I went up to Cincinnati. My lovely wife, Dawn, and I took the little convertible up to Cincinnati to, actually, it was twofold. And we've got both of those in the Newsline report tonight. No Dr. T tonight. Couldn't get a hold of her. Probably busy out there being quarantined or something. But nonetheless, we've got the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. A really cool thing that went on up in the Cincinnati area. And actually, two really cool things. And that's all coming up in the news tonight, George.
Cool. Sounds good, Don. No, I pick on you because you're
I can
down
take
there.
It.
And yeah. You can.
Yeah. I can.
You're a professional, so.
Yes, I am.
And I'm not. But we have another professional with us here tonight, a special guest, Tim Duffy, K3LR. Tim's been here with us a number of times before, and I can see he's in probably one of the world's premier ham shacks there tonight. And you've been taking care of some things during this social distancing and lockdown, haven't you, Tim?
Yes, George, good evening to you and everybody else here this evening. Thanks very much for having me on. And yeah, it's I've been locked down here at this radio station. Go figure. But we are running DX Engineering every day and taking care of their customers and helping them. And boy, you know, a lot of people are getting back into the hobby that had kind of put it off to the side. And it's a very exciting time. And we've been doing a lot of antenna work here. The weather has been beautiful, George. So we've been doing lots of antenna work, and we were outside all day today having a good time. So but we do have something that is really cool that's coming up, George.
Yeah, I understand. Tell us more about that. I didn't hear about this till, well, this week. So how long have you had this up your sleeve, and how do we participate?
Well, you know, when all this happened, we had to, cancel our HamFest. The DX Engineering HamFest would have been our second annual and a celebration of our 20th anniversary at DX Engineering, and it was scheduled for August 8th. And so when that happened, we canceled the HamFest. We decided we could do something virtually. George, you might recall back in May, we had Virtual Contest University, which was sponsored by ICOM and DX Engineering, and that went over great. The virtual event of CTU had 3,000 people watching live, and it's had over 12,000 replays since on YouTube. So that was a big success. But here, what we're going to do is on July 25th, we have the DX Engineering Virtual HamFest and DX Academy. It's an all-day event starting at 9 o'clock Eastern Time on Saturday, June 25th, goes till 5 p.m. We've got our bloggers from On All Bands, the DX Engineering blog, will be speaking in the morning, and we're very excited to have Ward Silver and Sean Kutsko and Anthony Lazur. All are going to be giving great talks, and we're also going to have the DX Engineering management team bring you up to speed on all the new products that we've developed at DX Engineering. So we're very excited about that. Then in the afternoon, Jerry, WB9Z, and Ham Nation's own Valerie, NV9L, and Glenn, W0GJ, and Ray Novak, N9JA, will all give presentations in the DX Academy Virtual. So all you do is go to the DX Engineering website, and the second banner it brings up this page, and you want to do the click here to register so that you get all registered for the Zoom Virtual HamFest and DX Academy. It's going to be a fun time. And George, we're going to give away a $1,000 gift certificate to DX Engineering after the Virtual HamFest and after DX Academy, but you got to be present on Zoom to win the prize. But it will be on Zoom and also simulcast on YouTube, and it will be recorded. So if you miss the event live, you can always replay it. But George, hope you and Tommy will tune in.
Okay, Tim, and thanks for being here with us tonight and telling us about that. Certainly the price of admission is nice, and the travel expense is, that's pretty nice too. So yeah, we'll have to check this event out. You know, I watched Contest University when you did that earlier. I chose the YouTube method. That way I could pause it when I had to and come back and pick right up and didn't miss anything. So either way, sounds like a great way to get in on some fun action. We're really looking forward to it, Tim. And well, I hope that you can get some more work done in the shack there, and particularly outdoors with your antennas there. It's just too hot to do any of that here.
Okay, George. Well, it gets up to about 90 degrees now during the day, but boy, we go like gangbusters in the morning and getting stuff done here. So hopefully we'll start to get some of these projects wrapped up. And I really appreciate you allowing me to be on tonight. And we hope everybody signs up. It's going to be a fun time. There's going to be Q&A. We're going to have a whole set of moderators for this event so that it'll be very interactive with the audience. And we've got some great instructors and great speakers. So join us on July 25th for the DX Engineering Virtual Hamfest. And George, take care, and the rest of the gang, and let's get on with the show.
Okay, Tim. Great to see you again, and we look forward to this event. Well, up next, let's see what Gordo's got going on tonight with his shorts.
All right. Well, thanks, George. And the most popular topic these days seems to be antennas, in that everybody is now working over their mobile and their base stations. But let's take a look at mobile antennas. Jeff? Well, we've all seen this mount before. This is called the lip mount. This one comes from Diamond. They've got them at DX Engineering and other ham radio stores throughout the country. The Diamond mount has just been a great performer, and the one we just showed you terminates to accept a 3/8 24 threaded antenna, either the Outbacker or the small little ham sticks. And this one will take one of the Diamond antennas, which takes a PL259 into this SO239. But the thing to remember is that silver part unscrews and comes out. So if you have the mount, you don't have to get a whole new mount if you just want to change what's going to be going into it. You can go from this mount to the SO239 receiver just by getting the cable kit and the mount. Again, DX has got it plenty in stock. So with a Diamond antenna, that takes the PL type of connection. And the key is get that mount, lip mount, up relatively high on your vehicle. Now, when we say relatively high, it doesn't take too much. It just takes a good lip that's exposed to get this antenna mount in place. Key to the mount are four, not the two that you see here on this import from overseas with no name brand on it, but rather four Allen screws that are going to hold it firmly to the lip. And those Allen screws are very, very important because they need to dig in to the underside of whatever you're going to be calling as a lip. So do not use the little inserts to protect the underside from getting boogered up by these screws coming in, because you want to really dog it down so that it's making a good DC connection. Now, in between the 1, 2, 3, 4 and the very rusty Allen wrench, that always worries me, because this is where some of the imports from overseas at a bargain price really skimp, and that is many times they'll supply these screws that will literally rust like the Allen wrench there in a week's time. Also make sure that, see that protrusion on the left? Be careful, because that could dig into your paint job unless you make sure that everything is absolutely flush as we get things going here. Now, these lip mounts onto a good metal body are relatively strong, and they can take some of the smaller motorized antennas that you see here, and they really dog down well. Another form of mount would be the L-bracket, and the L-bracket is popular with the ham sticks. The ham sticks are about $20 a piece, and they're good performers. You can get them up nice and high. However, you know where this one's going. I'm going to talk about this next. Here was that truck driver's great antenna system. When he's driving, he keeps it all the way down, but he has the capabilities of raising it up so he can get that coil much higher for improved gain. And he would do that once he gets to a truck stop and or a rest stop where he can play a little bit of DX. So that's something to think about. But remember, see that brass portion of this very popular type of SO239 on the bottom for coax, and then the antenna has a female connection goes there. That is swedged, not glued, not epoxied, not welded. It's just swedged into the bottom portion, and you put a big mama antenna on that brass section, and when you get to where you're going, you're going to realize you just lost your antenna. Out here, we decided to use our communications fan hinge. Now, wait a minute. I know. Got to make sure the door is well grounded, and that we did. And we used the Hi-Q mount, and this is one big, huge mama aircraft bolt that goes through there to hold this whole affair on. And that's the quick release, and it's got a very hefty spring. This quick release is for the, it looks like a 3H24 thread antenna. And we have another one on the bottom of the Outbacker that is the very, very quick release. And that is what Charlie's doing. And by the way, they're very much in business, the Hi-Q antenna line. They've just been working a lot with the military. Next week, we'll show you what they're doing. So on our comm van, we run the Outbacker, the manual one, because we like to show the students all about resonance. And that's what we're going to talk about next. Oh, yeah. This was a great mount. This came from a ham. I'm not sure where it came from, but he advertises. Just look up a ball mount and you'll find this one. Absolutely professional in every way possible. And the ball mount is a great way to get a motorized antenna, a hefty antenna up high. But once again, make sure you're going to take that ball mount onto a portion of the vehicle that has a good, strong metal backing. Here's another way to go, and that is to come off of the underside of your vehicle. But guess what? Probably will have a hard time loading because of the capacity effect at where the ball mount is mounted to the metal of the vehicle. Easy way around it. All you've got to do is take a small ground strap, stainless steel if possible, run it between the upper portion of that to a portion on the vehicle, and now you've short-circuited what would be a lot of capacity between the top of that mount. Here's the larger Hi-Q antenna coil, and they've got it mounted off of a trailer hitch, and this is a good mounting. And notice on the trunk lid, they have the VHF, UHF antennas. Here's another good one. Now, this is the L bracket. That is holding up one of the great antennas that we see there. And the Tar Heels have just been a very popular antenna out there. You want a big signal on 75? Well, the little Tar Heel on the left would do an okay job. No, it wouldn't even go down to 75. I think that Tar Heel only made it down to 40. But the big one on the stern there of that vehicle, that one's really going to kick some signal out big time. Now, I had a great antenna, the Hi-Q antenna, but it wouldn't work after I raised the trunk lid. Duh. Yeah, the trunk lid would add additional capacity to the antenna and cause it to go well off frequency. So you have to remember that if you plan to play HF, double check that when you're going down the road, it's not too close to, in this case, would be an open trunk lid on my wagon. So that's just one of the things to think about. I'm very happy to say that there's a lot of automatic antenna tuner counters. And what they do is they count the revolutions of the small motor inside the antenna. And they can get fairly close, but still, you're going to likely need to do a little bit up and down until you find resonance. And you know you've got resonance if you had an SWR analyzer, but going down the road, I would pull over for this one. But look at power output. Power output on your solid-state transceiver is usually the reciprocal of SWR. Minimum SWR, maximum power out. Oh, man, I'm only getting like 40 watts. Hello, hello, 40 watts. Test, test. No more than 42 watts. Look at your SWR. It's probably 2.5 to 1. So you can always tell when you have low SWR just by looking at your radio's power output meter on HF. So what we're hoping for is a nice resonant curve that we see right here. And on most of the antennas, they may have a circuit inside the antenna that's going to try and raise the impedance. Because many times, without that coil in place, it's just not going to look like 50 ohms. So many times you may say, well, someone's going to say, well, you need to wind the coil and put it between the hot part of the antenna base and the ground. And you take 15, no, you take 12, well, maybe 18, you get the idea. You never really know. Well, here's something I like. Comes from MFJ, the gadget people, and this one's a goodie. And what it is an antenna impedance matcher. And ideally, it'd be like to be right there at the antenna, but how are you going to drive your car and go to the back to adjust it? So many folks have this up by the radio itself, and you watch your SWR and your power output, and you'll find that when you click it through, there'll be different impedances that you can introduce to either inductive or capacitive coupling the ground. A neat little device from MFJ. They make one for capacitor to ground, and they make one for coil to ground. If you're out in the Midwest with static buildup on the antenna, I prefer the coil to ground because that will help deplete static buildup on the antenna itself. Here was a motorhome user, avid operator, member of the American Radio Relay League's executive group, and he had his antenna out at a 45-degree angle because any closer to the metal aluminum and it just wouldn't load. And I said, well, how does it perform? Took me inside and immediately hooked up with the East Coast, all you late-night East Coasters. So I knew it was a winner on 20 meters and some of the other bands. Motorized, a great performer, angled back at a 45-degree angle with a relatively short whip on the antenna. Here's a great one that we saw at Quartz Fest. And in a few more weeks, I'm going to give you news about Quartz Fest. It may take place as Quartz Fest, or it might take place as Quartz Pause, where maybe we'll meet up again at the same desert spot, but no formalized event, just ham radio ops having fun. Anyway, at Quartz Fest last year, this is on a track that motorized all the way up. So they play radio when they get stopped without having to do a thing other than push a button. Wow, this is pretty neat. There it's in the nestled position. The same folks that brought you Tar Heel also have connections to all sorts of motorized mounts, originally for satellite dishes in the good old days. Now these can be used to raise or lower an antenna on the top of your RV, where you can't easily do it yourself. Now, the key to these center-loaded antennas is a big low-loss coil and a good amount of whip sticking out the top, but you can't exceed more than 15 or 16 feet total. So what we do is we add X sub C, capacitive reactance, and we do that with what we call a capacity hat. This capacity hat, hey, look at that. Too low. Nope, you got to get it away from the coil. This is just like 4 inches above the coil, so it's not going to do much for adding capacity and making that antenna look longer. Get it up at least a foot and a half, and there's no real magic as to how these capacity hats look. In this case, it's just four wires brought back on themselves, and then a big tall whip on that. But if you really wanted to get down to 3.8 megs, you could do a more sturdy 3H24 to 3H24, stick another capacity hat about 2 feet on top of that one, and then a little short whip, and give it a try, because every time you add a capacity hat, you're probably going to undo about 5 turns of coil. And anytime you can reduce the amount of coil inside these either manual tuned or electronically motorized tuned antennas, when you reduce the amount of inductance, you're going to drive more current up into the business end of the whip. And I love this. Dayton, several years ago, somebody said, you want to see a capacity hat? And this was from an engineer, and the engineer claims that he worked this out on paper, and it adds more capacity than, well, maybe something like this capacity hat, which we saw last week. top left. Look all the way up, top left. You see that spiral? That's a great capacity head. It wouldn't last a second if it goes mobile in motion because it's going to hit a tree and yank the whole thing out, including the mast. But nonetheless, that's just a way to make a big short antenna look like a big long antenna. So that's our bit on antennas and antenna mounts. The whole idea is try and get that coil above where everybody's noggin is inside the vehicle. Get that coil up. Good for safety, because the real business end of those antennas is above the coil. And that's where you want to add that capacity hat. Then turn on your ICOM radio and have fun. And speaking of ICOM, here's the latest from ICOM America.
Get out and be active with ICOM's new IC705 and its optional multifunction backpack. The IC705 is your perfect QRP companion, as you have base station features and functionality at the tips of your fingers and a portable package covering HF 6 meters, 2 meters, and 70 centimeters. This compact rig weighs in at 1 kilo or just over 2 pounds. With RF direct sampling for most of the HF band and IF sampling for frequencies above 25 megahertz. 5-watt battery operation with BP272 or 10 watts with a 13.8-volt DC supply. Modes include single sideband, CW, AM, FM, as well as full D-Star functions. A large 4.3-inch color touchscreen and live band scope with waterfall. Integrated GPS with antenna and GPS logger, micro SD card for data storage. It comes standard with the HM243 speaker microphone, and it supports QRP and QRPP operations. The perfect accessory for the IC705 is the LC192 optional backpack with a special compartment for your IC705 and room for accessories for soda activations or just a day in the park. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information about this and all the great ICOM radios.
And ICOM wants you to register now for QSO Today's groundbreaking Virtual Ham Expo. The expo will be filled with virtual exhibits and guest speakers, all from the convenience of your computer, tablet, or smartphone. Visit QSO Today, hamexpo.com to register. ICOM also invites you to enter weekly after each episode of Ham Nation in our great swag prize giveaway. Each week, you can register right after the show, icomamerica.com/hamnation. And while you're there, you'll learn how you could possibly win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. For July, that new radio is the ICOM ID4100A entry-level D-Star mobile with big rig features. It's a VHF-UHF dual band, one band at a time. It's got a new user-friendly interface, built-in GPS, DVFast data mode, terminal mode, access point mode, micro SD card slot for voice and data storage, and there's downloadable Android and iOS apps available as well. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode and register to win. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. Tonight on Smoke and Solder, well, we had a great time this past Saturday in the park with Ray Novak. He came over. We had planned on doing this for field day, but due to various reasons, we just weren't able to. So we rescheduled and had a good time out in the park here in Jackson, Mississippi. This past Saturday, Ray brought over that IC705 that we were just looking at, as well as a handful of great new portable antennas, and we decided to do a little measuring here on the IC705 because there'd been some talk, people wanting to know just how much current does it draw off the battery, you know, hint, how long will a battery last? Well, you know, when you're going to measure current, you don't hook up your meter the same way you do to measure voltage. Voltage, you take your two leads, you just go across the positive and negative. Take a measurement there that gives you the voltage. If you're going to measure current, what you've got to do is break one of those leads and put your meter in series with it.
So I'm going to measure the current draw of this rig here, and you've got to break the power supply path somewhere and insert your ammeter in series. So we'll just do it right here at the power pole connector. I'll put in the negative and just leave it connected. I'll connect my ammeter in series with the positive lead. 288 milliamps, 290 on peak there. That's just sitting here idle, no audio.
288 to 287. GPS is turned on. A wireless LAN is turned on. So what we'll end up doing is coming in here.
Dropped it a little.
Wow, that's surprisingly efficient. I would have thought it would have went down a lot more than that.
281 with Bluetooth off, wireless LAN off. And then with the display off.
The display didn't really draw that much, does it? 40 milliamps.
Okay, Tommy, go ahead. We should still be on 2 meters, I believe.
In 5ZNO. Went up a little bit, but not a lot.
Now, if you want it to go up, you transmit with it.
Yes, sir.
That's where this baby comes in.
Yep.
Except you got to plug it up.
That baby.
Here, George, your turn. Get on the air.
So now it's dropped down to 237.
Okay, and we're probably set for 10 watts?
Yes.
Okay, N5ZNO, trying again.
Still less than 2 amps.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Now, the specifications do say, because the battery pack is 7.6 volts,
mm-hmm.
P equals IE. The calculation works all the time, so the battery is running at 7.6 volts. What we're running off right now is, well, we'll have to check that. Let's see. We'll go back here to power. Oh, others?
External 13.
Of course, when you're charging the battery, it's going to pull more.
Yeah.
So it's pulling 420 mils. For charging. When we first introduced the radio, that was the number one question, is how much current will it pull? And there's no way that it could be anywhere close to the other QRP radios because of it having the big display.
Mm-hmm.
Without listening, Ray, read the display on the Fluke and tell me what he's saying.
So you mentioned it to me before, but on a fully charged battery, like from 51, how long would you get just for listening on this radio? You've probably had practical experience with that, right?
We've got a spec on it for 5590, pretty much what we use for a handheld battery current mm-hmm. drain. I don't remember off the top of my head. But we were doing 4 hours of setup listening to local radio station, and we still had 2/3 of the battery.
Okay.
After sitting for a while, the display goes into screensaver mode.
Right.
So.
And
this is interesting. Now it's down to 230 mils.
Oh yeah. The working sideband, the duty cycle is so much less, also. Than sitting there on D-Star.
And I did forget to turn off one other thing.
I'll turn the GPS off.
Look at that, Tommy, with the GPS off.
Oh, wow. That's where a lot of your consumption was coming from right there. GPS and the screen off.
177 milliamps.
So that GPS, that would go off right away unless you absolutely had to have it.
There are some QRP rigs out there that are spec'd at minimum current. We're real close to it at minimum current. The specs in our brochures are what you'll typically see, the normal configuration.
And was there one little snippet on the tail end of that there that we didn't see right after the fade?
I didn't see anything.
Okay, maybe I didn't send that version. Okay, anyway, I tried to retrieve that radio when Ray was not looking. No success. You know, he kind of shifted my attention away to the antennas we had there, which, by the way, we're going to look at some great antennas that he brought over from some various manufacturers, some newer ones you may not have seen before, great for portable operation. We'll be looking at those Friday night on Amateur Logic if you'd like to join us live. It's live.amateurlogic.tv. 8 Central, let's see, that is, 0100 UTC, I believe, this Friday night. And, well, we had a fun time checking those antennas out as well. Anyway, a great Saturday in the park there with Ray and my friend Tommy in 5ZNO. We've got one more video tonight. This is one that Dale sent us. It came from AB0RR. You know, Field Day was just recently, and he got some great Field Day video to show us how they do it over there.
Welcome to Field Day 2020 from Fairplay, Colorado at 10,000 feet above sea level. Just might be the highest field day anywhere. It was a beautiful day, not a cloud in the sky. Warm temperatures. You look off in the distance, you can still see some snow on the higher peaks. This year's field day was held in conjunction with the Park County Radio Club and the Colorado Region 2 District 3 ARRIES. One of the activities conducted during setup at field day this year was a class on how to safely erect a mast. Here we see Dan, W0DFU in the red shirt, working with a couple of newer amateurs, learning how to correctly set up the guy lines, the guy anchors, doing it all safely while the mast is still on the ground before trying to actually erect the mast. Here we see Brian, AA0BF, who is also a member of the Colorado Civil Air Patrol, working with the newer ham, Mike, WD0GPS, trying to set up a very flexible HF antenna, working on trying to guy it, set it up on the bumper mount of the Civil Air Patrol vehicle. Took some work, but after some time, they finally got it set up and actually made some contacts during the day. The Region 2 District 3 ARRIES group works very closely with all of the public safety agencies within Park County. Recently, Park County purchased ham radios to go in their emergency communications vehicle.
Welcome to the PBRB repeater AB0PB.
Keep going across your cable. Something's too short. There you go. We're good. 100% okay. So we're going to come secure this on this one. We're wrapped around something here.
Oh, I see it.
One of Toby's line.
Okay.
No, not that. I'm not way back those.
No, I see it. Hang on. Can I put these down?
there's that coax on the ground down there by the tire. You want to fasten it to that one piece that you have in your hand. There's a connector on the back of it.
We are 5 Alpha Colorado. QSL?
Oh, you can tell me that's so weird.
I'm sorry, I got Delta Idaho. What's your the number? Is it 5 Bravo Idaho?
I do that all the time. So what are we plugging this into?
Propagation was poor during field day, but you can see here by the smile on Milan's face, he was having lots of fun trying to make contacts. 73 from Park County, Colorado, field day 2020.
And thanks to Mike and everyone there at that field day event. Looks like y'all had a great time. And field day at 10,000 feet, sitting down here at just over 300 feet. I can't even imagine the head start that you've got there. But boy, must be a great experience and certainly a lot cooler than it was here. Well, now we've got Don to come in and bring us all the news that us hams want to know this week.
Yeah, you've got a bit of a head start on me because I'm at about 60 feet above sea level down here, not too far from the Gulf of Mexico, about 30 or 40 air miles north of the Gulf of Mexico. Hey, I wanted to say hello to our friends over at WTWW Shortwave 5085. They actually run the audio from Ham Nation live as we do it. So you can listen to WTWW Shortwave and catch Ham Nation. You can also catch Amateur Radio Newsline. Bob Heil playing the organ. A lot of great amateur radio-related programming on WTWW, as well as great music, just 5085. And, in fact, they have at WTWW.us, they actually have an instant request feature. Well, almost instant. You can make a request online, and within a few minutes, you'll probably end up hearing the song. It's pretty cool. WTWW.us, and their email address is email at WTWW.us. They'd love to hear about your ham radio activities and what is going on. And who knows, you might actually hear Ted Randall and company talk about it online. And, of course, you can also hear Amateur Radio Newsline every week at WTWW on 5085 and the other frequencies that they have. And you can also listen online on your connected device. We do it on Alexa every now and then. So check them out. But right now, let's check out the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2228, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, July 15th, 2020. In a dramatic rescue, amateur radio operators came to the aid of a sailing vessel set dangerously adrift in the ocean by engine failure off the Florida coast.
According to an account from the Maritime Mobile Service Network, Captain Ian Cummings, KB4SG, was piloting the Mystic Lady in the Atlantic Ocean about 40 miles off the Florida coast when the vessel's engine died and a strong current began pulling him back out to sea. His distance from shore made it impossible for him to reach help on any of the VHF marine frequencies. On 14.300 megahertz, he reached out to the Maritime Mobile Service Network, advising net control operator Stephen Carpenter, K9UA, that he was in distress. The contact with Stephen and fellow net control operator Robert Weinoff, K5HUT, came just as the captain reported he was now being pushed by the wind towards the South Carolina coast. Hours later, the Mystic Lady was close enough to shore to allow Sea Tow, which provides boat assistance, to assist with the ride back to port. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
If you live in the UK and you are planning to get rid of your AM and FM radios, think again. The plan to switch to fully digital radio from analog is getting a reprieve.
Regulators have announced that the planned switchover from analog to digital will be delayed until 2032. The original plan would have scrapped the analog broadcasts available on older receiving devices in favour of digital signals instead of the commercial analog licences expiring in 2022. Ofcom will renew them for another decade on condition that the licensee also provides digital service. This delay marks the latest slowdown in the UK's switch to all-digital commercial broadcasting. It's estimated that 60% of radio listeners have made the leap to digital in the UK, but Ofcom recognises that there remains a strong loyal group of listeners to traditional AM and FM signals. The rules do not apply to BBC radio stations. Media Minister John Whittingdale told the Daily Mail that despite this accommodation of AM and FM listeners, there was still a long-term commitment to the continued growth of digital radio. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Finally this week, we at Amateur Radio Newsline are celebrating a marriage. Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, and Julie Swigert exchanged vows on Saturday, July 11th in the Cincinnati suburb of Westchester, Ohio, and we could not be happier for the newlyweds. It was a long road to the front of the church for Neil and Julie as the COVID pandemic caused many delays and cancellations along the way. However, love always wins, and I'm honored to present to you Mr. and Mrs. Neil Rapp. Just before the ceremony, I had the honor of presenting the 2020 Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award to Christopher Bro, KD8YVJ. It wasn't at the Huntsville Hamfest, but at least I got to present it in person and to a great friend and deserving young radio amateur. It was a surprise to his parents, Jocelyn, KD8VRX, and Kim, as Chris decided not to tell them until I handed him the plaque. Double congratulations to Neil and Julie and to Chris Bro, KD8YVJ, our 2020 Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Dave Parks, WB8ODF, Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wellbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Congratulations to Neil and Julie Rapp, and also to Chris Bro, the 2020 Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year. We could not do it without our corporate sponsors, that being Yaesu USA, CQ Communications, Heil Sound, and Radio Waves Antenna. And we normally do that at the Huntsville Ham Fest, but of course that has been called off for this year. So I had just happened to be up in Cincinnati and in near Chris's hometown up there, and got to spend some great time with Chris and his family, and a very deserving young man. We first met Chris about 5 or 6 years ago at the Dayton Hamvention. He had just missed his technician test by like a question or two, and he came up to the Ham Nation booth and said hello to us, and it's been amazing watching Chris grow as a young man and as a young radio amateur, so we're very, very thrilled about that. I don't have a solar update for you tonight. We had an internet outage here in the area most of the day today, so I wasn't able to pull that together, but I understand that her latest is on her YouTube channel. Just look for Tamitha Scove on YouTube. And while we're in the process of talking about youth, let me show you something. This came across my Facebook feed this morning as a memory. This happened 3 years ago. This is my son, Tyler, and he is holding up his CSCE for technician 3 years ago today. And we got him a really nice vanity call, November 7, Tango Mike Whiskey, N7TMW, which happens to be his initials. So congratulations, Tyler. Very proud of my son. And here in a couple of weeks, we're going to be attending his graduation ceremony from college. And he's got an IT job lined up. So we're very, very proud of that young man. Just love him more than life itself. So I wanted to share that with you. Amanda, we're very happy to have another ham in the family here for the last 3 years.
Oh, I can't believe it's been 3 years. If you would have asked me, I would have said 3 months ago.
Yep, 3 years. And I think I'm the only person he's talked to.
Oh, come on.
Doesn't get on very often. Doesn't get on very often at all.
You got a hotspot. At least, okay, next time I'm on, like, hand him the radio. If he's home, I know he works and stuff like that. So, I want to catch up with them. And, again, wow, congrats, Tyler. Thanks for being a ham. More importantly, Chris is in the chat room tonight. So, Chris, really, sincerely, congratulations. This has been a long time coming. I'm so glad you're Young Ham of the Year. And I think, since you weren't on the show this evening to give us your spiel and your thank you acceptance speech, I think you should tell us in the chat room how you're appreciative and what you did to earn this.
We'll have him on. Have him on later for sure. Yeah.
I know. And I was just kind of giving him a hard time because he's in there and he's like, thanks, everyone. And I don't know. I'm not sure if he knew you were going to announce that or not. And I had no idea you were announcing this evening. So.
Yeah, the press release hasn't even come out yet. We haven't even announced it officially yet. But
I expected to see this on the AR Newsline on Facebook or something first. So that's really cool. And I know Jocelyn's probably very, very proud of his kiddo there. Let's see. You know, you guys, I really didn't have many questions this evening. All the chat was... We just followed everything and nobody actually had any questions. So let's just open it up to some conversation. Gordo, I know you're here with us. Hello. We have the CQ VHF contest coming up this weekend. Now, that's kind of a fun one to join in on, don't you think?
It is, especially, Amanda, since 6 meters has been opening quite regularly, and we're hoping that the Hawaiian beacon that's been reconfigured will be heard from the West Coast. That's 2,500 miles, 2-meter tropo ducting. So good conditions out here on the West Coast, and we're hoping great conditions in the ionosphere for 6 meters. So I'll meet you all on 6 meters this weekend for the CQ Magazine VHF UHF contest.
Very good. Now, Gordo and I have our own beliefs on this, but I do know a lot of you are going to try it out on FT8. Hey, I want to ask you, please, put up a wire and just try some phone. Just try it. Right, Gordo?
Yeah. I mean, FT8 is fun, but there's no more excitement that I have than hearing the reaction of hams when they hear that their signal is pouring in or that they're getting received by other SDR stations around the country. It's just, I like voice on sideband. Of course, Chip, he's our CW guy. He says even CW has a particular fist that folks can do with their little homebrew CW gears. And FT8 is good, but FT8 is pretty robotic, but it's great on picking up the grid squares and great on picking up countries all over the world.
Hey, I had a great experience on 6 I wanted to tell you guys about. This happened a number of years ago at the Huntsville, Alabama Ham Fest. I'm talking, it's probably 20 years ago now, back when you could still stay at the Hilton, back before the Hilton became the Holiday Inn, and then they tore it down. So that's how long ago it's been. But in the middle of the hotel was the outdoor swimming pool, and I'm sitting out by the pool with Joe Eisenberg, KZRONEB. He had just bought the little Yaesu QRP rig, the 817, and he had a Miracle Whip antenna on it, and we're sitting outside by the pool, and we're hearing double hop from the West Coast at 10 o'clock at night, 9, 10 o'clock at night out by the swimming pool. It was the most amazing thing. It sounded like a round robin night on a repeater when everybody's drunk on a Saturday night in New Orleans. It was great on 6 meter 6 meter sideband. The coolest thing I've heard in a long time. So, yeah, when 6 meters heats up, it can be a ton of fun.
Absolutely, I agree 100%. All of a sudden, you're just hearing signals booming in, and you can, there's so many to pick from. You don't know which one to go back to first. Yep. Then I say look for the grid squares that you need to get confirmed. But oh boy, those are the days when you can just pick and choose who you want to talk to on 6 meters. Well, everyone, I hope you really have fun on the contest. If not, just dabble in it. And remember, the exchange always is always your grid square. Grid square. So, George, speaking of grid squares, 6 meters, the 705. This would be a time to try to use it if it was available. Is that not right?
Yes, and unfortunately, it is not because I couldn't get it from Ray. But I know that they're not far out now. This fall, I believe. Pretty sure this fall. I'll actually be giving away one in October. So I know they've got to be available for that. Anyway, it's a great QRP rig. It's QRP. It's not a 100-watt rig. It's not a mobile. It's a QRP rig, which means it's small. You can take it with you. But, boy, the features that thing has. Yeah, I would have a good time with that on 6 meters. If I can, I need to get out here and try to stretch out a little piece of wire. Let me just give everyone a tip here. While we're talking about the 6 meter contest, your HF antenna tuner probably does not cover 6 meters. So don't think that you can take your HF antenna tuner and tune your 80-meter loop or 40-meter antenna to be resonant on 6 meters using the tuner. I'm living proof of that because I saw smoke come out of my tuner. So you don't want to do that, do you, Gordo?
Yeah, that happens. You don't want to let the smoke out. But on 6 meters, if you have the Hustler mast that lays over, you unscrew the Hustler 10, 15, 20, 40, 75 meter coil, and without any coil, run the mast straight up, and you're looking at a quarter wave on 6.
Oh, there you go.
All right, I got to tell you guys a story. Okay. So we really, 6 meters was open one night, and this was really random, and it was about 2 years ago, and it was maybe in the middle of May, and there was a bunch of people on there making contacts, and all we had was our Cushcraft A4S. Now, you guys know that, if you are familiar with it, is not made for 6 meters whatsoever. We tuned it with our MFJ 986. I kid you not.
Ah, that's good.
We did. We tuned it. And of course, listen to Gordo because he's the master on this. Most of them probably aren't going to tune up for that or anything like that. But we did get it tuned and I made quite a few. I made 30, 35 contacts in about an hour, which I thought I was pleased with. And I think.
Oh, wow.
You guys should be proud. I mean, it took a lot of work to get it tuned. And you had this very little block that it would be tuned on, maybe from 5125 to about 5145, maybe 5150. Yeah. And that's about
very
it.
Narrow.
But it was fun. It was like really fun. And people couldn't believe that I was telling them I was using an A4S. They're like, are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. It was a really fun time. And just throw up a wire, though. As Bob always says, just throw up a wire, see what it can do, because I think you'll have a lot more fun with that.
And, my 7600, the internal tuner on my 7600 works really good on 6. On my Radio Waves DX80, 80-meter off-center fed dipole, that thing is a killer 6-meter antenna.
Yep.
Really? That's nice to know. And, you know, our auto tuner, I can't say anything bad about our auto tuner. It does. It works really hard to make some of our very non-resident antennas work. So the 7610 here does a good job. 10 is probably one of the hardest just because it's such a wide, like huge band. It's really happy on 28400. So I'm happy with it doing that as well on our Yagi, the A4S. So, all right, we're done. We've talked it all out. Get on the air. I hope everyone had fun on IARU this weekend as well. Hopefully you guys made some new contacts there and had fun during the contest. All right, let's see. We've got some nets tonight. We have the 20-meter net on 14265, I believe, is where Steve said he was. He couldn't make it last week. God bless his heart. He's a volunteer firefighter, and when he gets called out, we don't have nets. So we appreciate it when he can make it and handle that for us during the summertime. Thank you, Steve. And also we have 71.92 for the 40-meter net and 14 Charlie for the D-Star net and 31.012 for DMR net. So get on there and thank you, all of our net controls. They do such a hard job every week, and they love hearing from all of you. And the cool thing is that they remember who you are. So once you check in a couple of times, you're good as golden with them, and they already know you. They know who your wife and children are, all that good stuff. So thanks again. I never saw who won the coin toss of who was wrapping it up this week, so I'll put it up in the air.
And you're a winner.
That's not funny.
We were going to wrestle for it. Did we ever wrestle for it? I don't remember.
No, I don't think we have.
You know, so Jeff is TDing tonight, and Jeff doesn't normally do Ham Nation. So, Jeff, thank you so much for doing an awesome
good job,
Jeff. So far.
Super fun,
Jeff,
guys.
Not,
really fun. I really enjoy
deal
you guys.
With me. You guys do not want to put me onto his plate to have to wrap this show up. I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there. He wants a real professional.
I think you're all professional. It's been a blast.
Oh, you say that now.
And Jeff lies, evidently, like a dog.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what.
Jeff.
Hey, George, since you drove tonight, if you don't mind, I'll just park the car. How's that sound?
Oh, that sounds good to me, Don, because I have no idea what we did tonight. So,
you guys did good.
With the internet down earlier today, I started drinking early. So, you know, I don't know what we're doing right now. But that's never stopped me before. So, all right, guys, for everybody here at Ham Nation, of course, we missed Bob tonight. We'll have him back hopefully next week. Thank you so much to Tim Duffy. All the great information about the virtual stuff that's going on over there at DX Engineering. That's going to be a lot of fun. Have fun on the VHF UHF contest this weekend. Jeff, thanks for filling in. And to everybody else here who works on the show and behind the scenes and you out there who watch it, we couldn't do it without you. And we appreciate you, and we'll see y'all next week here on Ham Nation. So good night, everybody.
Hey, folks, I'm Micah Sargent, host of Hands on iOS right here on the TWiT Network. If you've got iOS devices or watchOS devices or tvOS device, any kind of Apple mobile device, you are going to want to check out Hands on iOS. It is the best way to make the most of those devices. I walk through tips, tricks, and everything in between, plus answer your questions. So be sure to check it out. It's twit.tv/HOI.